amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Just the non-money.
No, it requires the commissioner to notify.
And I think in Article 5, House 26, was an outlier bill on the Senate side, and I believe the authors have gotten together with the department and the counties and have agreed to the Senate language. So we'd like to hand that out at this time and see if we could substitute that for the House language and then adopt that section.
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
So are the only difference is the one identified in the side-by-sides?
We don't have differences in the side-by-side because we had an outlier bill.
But the outlier bill was listed in the side-by-side.
Well, I believe you're correct that we did. They are in the side-by-side.
What's that?
So, Ms. White, were there any changes after you put the side-by-side together?
No, Madam Chair, not as far as I can tell. No changes to the Senate bill. One kind of major difference between the two is that this pilot project for chemical health allows for funding for non-treatment pilot services, and we weren't sure what that was, and the Senate defines that term so they know exactly what they're paying for. And it also has to do with where the funds are deposited for purposes of the pilot project.
So the side-by-side, we can't adopt the Senate language because it's not actually in our bill. So we thought the appropriate thing would be to substitute this language that we've just handed out for the House language and then adopt the House article.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Representative Huntley.
I would move in Article 5, Section 26, that we substitute Senate File 2937 for that language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Now that we've substituted, we need a motion to adopt the section.
And Madam Chair, can I just ask a question first? Senator Sharon,
Representative Thiessen.
Representative, you worked with Representative Liebling, and she's signed off on this?
This was a Rosen bill.
This is not the bill that
we were talking
you're
about.
Referring to, yes.
Oh.
It's a Senator Rosen bill.
Okay, I think we're okay.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the amended language in Section 26.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Thanks, Jen. Just hold on a minute.
Let's turn to Article 6. This would be House 13. We'd be ready to adopt that section.
Section. Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt in Article 6, Section 13 of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. There are a few things in the rider section.
Where are we?
Which is Article 11. Turn to page R10.
R10.
I believe we have an amendment we wanted to adopt to the Senate position on this page.
As well.
Fine. This relates to the adoption assistance and the FMAP, food assistance, Minnesota Food Assistance Program. We don't have any language in this rider section on those at all, and so this would be to insert it into this area of the bill. Ms. White, do you want to just explain?
Yes, Madam Chair. This actually amends the House language. It reduces the adoption assistance grants by $900,000 and increases the food shelf program grant by $110,000, totaling $400,000 in fiscal year 2010 and $63,000 in the base, which is there right now. And then provides $100,000 for the Minnesota Food Assistance Program. And this was in one of the offers, I think, yesterday.
Any discussion? Seeing
Madam Chair, then I would move the A-10 amendment to the rider language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask a question.
Representative Clark, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know, thank you.
I didn't see you.
I know, I'm sorry. Can I just ask you, the funding is coming from where, do we know, in this amendment?
Apparently they believe that there'll be an excess in the appropriation to the adoption assistance program.
Okay.
We didn't have anything about that in our rider section, so in order to get that in here, we need to do something, and this is what we...
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, are we just adopting this to the House language and then not adopting it, or are we adopting it as a conference?
Well, I guess we're adopting it to the House language, and we're adopting it, but we haven't adopted the entire rider article.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
So
believe that we have some language we'd like to look at that would need to be inserted between our 12 and our 13. Someplace in there. This has to do on with provider cuts and HMO pass-throughs.
Madam Chair, while that's being passed out, I have those two amendments we talked about before about the sliding element of the TEFRA fee and then the other enhancement language to that that consultation.
I'll get
thing.
To you.
And I'm just those are available whenever right. you want. I'm in no rush.
Language in the bill now, if it's passed through rate cuts by HMOs to providers, and this language would replace it, and it would allow pass-throughs under certain conditions.
And Madam Chair, does this... Who gets exempted then, or what are the conditions?
Well, if you look at the language, it allows on lines 1.14 to 1.16 that the commissioner may waive fully or partially the prohibition on the pass-through. And then if you look on lines 1.17 through 121, if the plan certifies to the commissioner that their rates would be below the levels that would be actuarially sound, plan must request the waiver. Plan must provide the data in the form the commissioner requests it. The commissioner must notify the appropriate people in the House and Senate. Mm-hmm. And the plan must reimburse the department reasonable costs for doing this work. Representative Huntley.
And Madam Chair, this does not exempt primary care providers. There was some discussion of that earlier, but... Well, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt this. Is this amending the Senate language? Or?
It is amending the Senate language, but at this point in time, there's some. I mean, there needs to be something decided about this in regard to what the House offer was as well.
Madam Chair.
Representative Abler.
Echo is weird. anyway, so this is I know there's some rate cuts to the plans. Are they in both bills or in the Senate?
Well, they're in the Senate bill, but the House has agreed to some level of rate cuts. So.
All right. So I see this modifies the language, and I'm sure there'll be more discussion about the impact of this. But it's an effort to protect like preferred one in particular. Is that what this would affect?
Not necessarily. It could be any plan that. Okay. Finds themselves in a position where their revenues do not allow them to take the rate cut without passing it through.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so when Is there every year actuarial soundness established? I mean, is there a number set?
Representative Thiessen, they're usually when the department sets their rates, they have an actuary that determines actuarial soundness. Now, I'm not really impressed by this, the work that's done in the department about this.
Nor are we.
But under the bill, there would be a reduction. And if a plan believes that they do not, their rates do not meet the actuarial soundness criteria,
if they're not,
the onus would be on the plan to provide the information to the department and ask for a waiver of the pass-through provision. And it would be incumbent on the plan to provide to the department whatever costs it would take for the department to review that issue. And then the department may allow part or all of the rate cut to be passed through, depending on what actuarial information they agree or disagree with.
And so my question is this. So the plans and the department negotiate their rate and determine it's actuarially sound. And I'm assuming that the department is actually going to pay a rate that is higher than, I would hope they wouldn't pay a rate that's higher than actuarially sound.
No, they would not be.
So
they would not be paying a higher rate under this language.
Just let me finish the whole thinking. I just want to think it through here. So they negotiate a rate that they determine is actuarially sound, then any cut we would make would, by definition almost, be not actuarially sound, so that they could come to the department. This is based, I mean, I'm just wondering if that really means anything, or whether they can come for a waiver, and if the, and my understanding of the department is that the way they've done these negotiations in the past, they're very likely to allow this pass-through. So I just wonder if this is meaningful.
I'm just going to take one stab at this, and if it doesn't register with you, then we're just going to set this aside so we could look at it
okay.
some more, so we don't take up a whole lot of time on it. We are cutting rates that have already been established in this bill, effective July 1st. So it isn't a matter of redetermining the actuarial soundness. It's a matter of, if a plan can come in and show that they're not going to be able to function financially, that they would be in the red, so to speak, losing money, then rather than have the plan go out of business, they could ask for a waiver to allow some of that rate cut to be passed through to providers.
And Madam Chair, that's exactly what I was getting at, is that essentially what this is saying is, with this cut, every rate will not be actuarially sound. So the plans can come in and seek a waiver. So there's no we've set the rates at actuarial soundness, and we're cutting them.
No. We believe that because of the removal of GAMC from the plans portfolio, and GAMC was in the plans portfolio at the time the rates were set,
okay,
that these rates are actuarially sound. But if there is a plan out there for whom the rates would not be actuarially sound, there would be a way for them to demonstrate that to the department in order to waive the pass-through language.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Giel?
I think we should add some technical amendment language here to also apply this to the county-based purchasing plans, because they're subject to some of these rate reductions also.
Yes, I think that would be appropriate. Do you want to work on that while we answer a few more questions?
I'm not sure I can do it on the fly, but if we had permission to do that, it might go into a few different places. But
well, Representative Huntley, is it all right to add that to the intent of the amendment?
Yes.
All right, then that would be incorporated. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As I look at the language of the amendment, it seems that this turns on the word certifies. The health plan must certify, and then the notification to the legislature shall include the certification. I am wondering what you believe would be included in the certification to the legislature. In our experience together, we know that this administration is famous for expanding its authority, stretching its authority, et cetera. And I would want to make sure that if we're going to put language like this into the bill, that the health plans have a real standard they have to meet, and that the legislature is getting that information so that we're not leaving it to... It's very important what I have to say. So that we're not leaving this decision-making alone to the commissioner without the light of day. So if you or someone else could help me understanding...
So, Representative Murphy, do you have an amendment to the amendment?
I would like, before amending the amendment, to understand what would be included in the certification to the legislature. What does that mean?
Define.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Beal.
Well, Madam Chair, the on starting on line 1.17, they certify to the commissioner that the inability to pass the rate reductions through will have the net effect of reducing the rates below the level of actuarial soundness. So I would think they would have to supply some projections on what they think their revenue is going to be, their costs under this rate reduction, and demonstrate to the commissioner what that does to their bottom line and whether or not the rates are still actuarially sound. I don't know specifically what they would supply to do that, but that would be the intent, that they supply enough information to the commissioner to demonstrate that.
And thank you, Mr. Gill and Madam Chair. My experience with this issue and the health plans and the commissioners of the health plans have been unwilling to share a lot of financial data with the legislature. They like to share it with the commissioner, and it stops there. And I know that we need to continue to move forward. I'm going to ask the committee's indulgence, even if you adopt this, for the time to work on this, to make sure that the legislature is also getting verification that the health plans really did need a waiver before they pass a rate cut on to the providers. And so move forward as you'd like, but I'm going to work on this throughout the day. Thank you.
Well, would you like to have the amendment laid over for that amendment, or should we adopt it and then we'll take up your amendment when you bring it to us?
It would be great if you held and didn't adopt it now.
Sorry. There is some language to that effect. Starting on 1.33, notification to the legislature shall include the certification from the health plan, the specifics of the waiver request, and the data provided to the commissioner by the health plan.
So we'll adopt this, and then if you think that's not strong enough, Representative Murphy will be open to taking it.
Thank you.
A look at whatever amendment you have. Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, does this relate to the fact that there is no actuarial soundness needed for GAMC currently because it's a state-only program? And if we shift these people into MA, then there will be a need for actuarial soundness.
It has to do with the fact that the rates for general assistance medical care in the past have been very low, and it would appear, based on the data that we've had for over a number of years, for a long time, that the rates for PMAP are always set higher to offset that. And we believed, and apparently you believe at least to some extent, that those rates could be lowered because of that. And this is just to make sure that if any particular plan isn't going to have a rate that is actuarially sound, that they would have an opportunity to make that case, and then they would be able to pass some or all of that rate cut through to providers.
I think we're ready to. So I think we're ready to move on the amendment.
Yeah. All right. Representative Huntley renews his amendment. Is there any question? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. We have an amendment on R17. This has to do with CPE reporting. And I might just add that I think this amendment was drafted before there were some changes in the savings taken because of CPEs. So we would offer, we would want to offer this amendment with the understanding that the staff would be allowed to change the numbers to reflect whatever ends up in the spreadsheet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would move the A12 amendment to the Senate language and direct the staff to make any changes in the amounts based on the final spreadsheet.
Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Can you just so we're depositing excess amounts into the health care access fund. Can you just explain the amendment again? I'm sorry.
Well,
and the purpose.
We know we're leaving available certified public expenditures on the table here. And the intent of the amendment is to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future should it become clear that there are CPEs that we could claim because of losses that hospitals are incurring that George Hoffman doesn't realize would be happening today. And it also would direct the commissioner in the future to give us some kind of a forecast of that so that we would be more aware of it than so we aren't ending up trying to deal with this issue in a conference committee at the 11th hour.
Madam
Representative
Chair. Abler. And so this amendment directs them to go to the healthcare access fund. Do they go to the general fund now, or is that a reason that they're going to go to the healthcare access fund?
Representative Abler, they would go to the healthcare access fund because we don't know how much it would be, and we don't know. So there's no place to appropriate it to. And so this is the only thing we could think of that made sense as to where to park the money until it gets appropriated.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of the A12 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Then we have an amendment on R23.
Did you say?
This has to do with a commingling of funds between state operated services and the mental health grants. So this would clarify the language in this rider so that state-operated services would be able to transfer money to be managed by the Mental Health Grants Division in regard to their potential need to do so. But the transfer going the other direction would not be allowed to happen.
Madam Chair.
Representative Abler.
I know a lot of us support some work in this area. Some of the stuff may be controversial to the department and just, have you asked them what they think about this?
The department had requested some clarification of this language.
So they want this. Okay, thank you. Just making sure.
Any further discussion?
I haven't moved it.
Representative Huntley will move the A5 amendment.
Madam Chair, are we adding this to the bill or to the Senate language?
At this point, we're adding this to the Senate language.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. The House has some amendments to these articles as well.
Madam Chair, I have just one amendment in Article 11. The 168 amendment that will be passed out, and this is to the House language. It will allow Hunger Solutions or the department in conjunction with them to draw down some additional funds for food.
I believe this language is in on the Senate side.
It is in on the Senate. I think it's it's changed it a little bit, though, isn't it? What?
Give me the section. JC.
I believe we already adopted the language on the Senate side.
Madam Chair, the department just brought it to us this morning.
Well, maybe we could just set this aside.
Yeah, we'll set it aside. And
we did adopt the Senate language, and unless there's a change, it'd be more appropriate to amend the Senate language.
All right. We'll figure that out.
Representative Abler.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. If I can get it.
Do you want to figure it out?
Sure.
There's two sections that are, one's a House, one's a Senate, and I'm not, the Senate, in the case of the TEFRA program, made both bodies, at least in their side-by-side agreements, seem to be going that direction, and the challenge, this is an Article 3, and the I worked with some of the advocates, although they don't like this provision. They would be happier. It would be less burdensome to the families if there was a more of a sliding fee than if it was a cliff. The way the language was written earlier, it would go from, if you get one more dollar, your contribution goes up $6,000 off of $8,000, which would be quite burdensome. And so this slides the fee up, and the department tells me this actually gains about $10,000 more, because they couldn't do it any closer than that. So it replaces the language, and I can give you the specific numbers if you want, but it's much more gradual and it raises the same amount of money. So that's the A-161 amendment, Madam Chair. And so I would move that, and then A-1. Be happy to talk about it.
Thank you. Representative Abler moves the R, or the A-13 amendment.
No, that's the A-161, Madam Chair.
A-161 amendment. And did you say something about it changing our spreadsheet?
Actually, it gains a small amount of money. It gains about $10,000.
Right.
They couldn't get it any closer, and nobody wanted to gain $10,000, but they worked on it for 2 days, and this is what they came up with. And so, Ann Henry. Ben Stevens.
Are there questions or discussion about the amendment?
Well, it just levels it out.
Seeing none, are we ready to vote?
Yep.
Representative Hosh.
Madam Chair, this is the first that I've heard about this or seen this, and it could be a very good idea, but I'd like to know, look at it and understand what the impacts would be on these families. I've been getting the emails from the families that make, I believe 565% of poverty is about $124,000 a year, and I've been getting their emails. But I want to make sure that I'm not going to get emails from other families that are making less and that we adversely affect them. So I personally feel that I'm not ready to vote on this.
All right, let's set it aside then.
And Madam Chair, I'm fully happy with that. I know it's we have plenty of time.
Have a little more discussion.
Certainly.
On the next amendment.
Madam Chair, the Senate has a proposal to do a consultation. I'm not sure what the committee will decide on that. If you're going to do it, you want to make it as focused and as non-invasive to unnecessary conversations as possible. And this makes the proposal, I think, a little better. I talked to the department. This is a fiscally neutral amendment. It says that if the one of the concerns was that if it's the end of business and you can't get the phone call done, you can do it as soon as practical. Secondly, it allows the consultation to be made with the legal guardian, not the person if they're incapacitated or if it's just more compatible. And also it says it limits it to the places where you have services or have to buy services. And so if it's a rent-subsidized senior high-rise or actually homeless shelter, which was also brought in, and places like that where you're just buying rent, then those are not required to have that consultation. So it limits who's involved. It still saves the same amount of money. And so if the committee wants to act on that, they can. It's just a way to improve it. And I'll move the A13 amendment to get it before us, and people can think about it.
I believe the Senate would be amenable to adopting this amendment. Is there any discussion?
Not really.
Okay.
Seeing none, then those in favor of the A13 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, that amendment that was the food amendment, that is dealing with a different section. It's not in the Senate language.
This is that's the other.
And Representative Clark, I think, can take it from there.
Okay. Representative Clark, the A-168 amendment?
Yes, and my understanding is this is dealing with a different part than what we were talking about earlier today. This is the TANF Summer Food Program. And the department says they need the authority to have this language, which gives them the authority to provide the funding.
So the one that's in the Senate position that we adopted deals with summer youth employment. This deals with summer food programs for youth. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Article 3.
Sure.
That's Article 11.
This is the ACO.
I don't know what we just voted on. I don't know what we just did. We just voted on. Do you know?
Right. A little earlier today, we were going to talk about Accountable Care Organization demonstration projects, and Representative Huntley wanted a little more time to look at the language the House gave us, and so we did that, and I think now we're ready to distribute that and have a discussion about it.
Madam Chair, first of all, I would move the A-167-1 amendment be incorporated into the House language. And basically what this does is set up a system by which the Department of Human Services can apply for various pilot projects that involve accountable care organizations. A number of these are in the National Healthcare Reform Bill. And in addition to that, and the only difference between now and this morning is on line 416, it refers to the fact, it says, or administered by the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And that relates to the fact that Secretary Sebelius has announced and sent out, they're not quite ready for the request for proposals, but they are negotiating with a number of states to come up with a plan by which Medicare and Medicaid could both be paid for in the same kind of payment structure as pilot projects in various states. And the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services in Minnesota are negotiating with the Commissioner or Secretary of Health and Human Services on this matter. And I think that this is one of the this section is one of the key things that we can do in healthcare reform, because we always have the problem of critical mass. And if you're trying to get a clinic or a provider to change what they do, if you only have 5% of their patients that you're asking them to do that for, they're not really going to change what they do. But if we can combine Medicaid and Medicare in the same kind of payment structure, then you do get to the close to the critical mass. So, but again, this just asks the Commissioner of Human Services to apply for these pilot projects, both from the healthcare reform bill and from the CMS.
Maybe we could just ask the staff. We already adopted the language on the Hennepin and Ramsey County pilot program. So maybe we could find out, did we adopt the House language or the Senate language?
The Senate.
Madam Chair, they were the identical language.
I know, but which one did we adopt? I thought we adopted the Senate language.
I believe we did, and then we were going to codify it specifically in a separate section.
Right, that's why we adopted the Senate language. So, Representative Huntley, I think the best thing to do is to divide this amendment. So we could take it up in two pieces.
Madam Chair, I would move to divide the amendment between line 3.23 and 3.24.
Is that right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I would move the first part.
Now, on the first part, my understanding is that you've taken the Senate language and added some amendments to it. So maybe you could just go through for the senators and indicate where there are changes.
I think Mr. Chun would comment on that.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'm afraid I can't at this point. I haven't done a comparison between this language and the baseline Senate language.
Give me Australia the side then. That one's up.
Which one? Well, maybe this part, the second part of the language.
Okay, then the second part is after. Yeah, I would withdraw my motion that we look at the first part first, or adapt the first part first, and that we go to the Hennepin and Ramsey County's pilot project.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Okay.
And.
That's what I said. Now.
Does that include
the second half? We need to take this because the second half.
Yeah, that's what we're working on.
Okay, well, that includes these.
Some of this language, so we could figure out what this is that we're adding and just do it as
a. Look at the differences.
Yeah.
Okay. Madam Chair. Are you looking for differences in Subdivision 5 from what was adopted previously? Or?
Yes, we're trying to figure out how just to amend the difference onto the Senate language.
Sure. Madam Chair, I think what you would need to do, and, you know, we can staff can supply the proper page and lines, but you would be adding references to on line 4.16 should be adding to what was adopted, administered by the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Then the other new language that was added would be beginning on line 4.20, reading initiatives that allow the integration or coordination of Medicare and Medicaid funding and service delivery.
So Representative Huntley would move that be amended to the Senate language we've already adopted.
Okay. And that would be the changes on line 416 and 420 and 21.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion is adopted.
And Madam Chair, I now have some information regarding subdivision one, or the first section of what is being added, or what is different from the Senate language.
Mr. Chung, go ahead.
So that would be on page two of the amendment, lines 2.22 to 2.25. That paragraph E would be new language. Then on page three, lines 3.10 to 3.23 would be new language.
Now, my understanding, although I don't, on the face of it, have any objection to the language on 2.22 through 2.25, my understanding was that the department had some concern about it. So maybe if they do, somebody could come up to the table and let us understand the concern a little better.
Steve Greenman with the Department of Human Services. Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you was that were asking.
On the amendment regarding accountable care organizations, mm-hmm. Our understanding is that the department may have some concerns about the language on lines 2.22 through 2.25.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure that whether we would have a concern about that or not. I think we do want to get a chance to take a look at this language, though. There's some issues involved that I'm not sure this language addresses, particularly in relation to ACOs and our ability to obtain drug rebates. I'm not sure if you do an MA early expansion with an ACO that we would get a drug rebate, and that's a pretty significant amount of money that we'd be putting at risk on that. So I think we'd like to have a little time to look at this. I know the time is of the essence, and so you don't have a lot of time, but we'd like to. Our medical director, Jeff Schiff, is coming up right now to take a look at this.
Would you have any objection to setting this part of the amendment aside then?
Thank you.
Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, this is our offer, and we think it's a reasonable compromise with the last Senate offer. We have accepted the millions of dollars of Senate proposals, including the hospital ICF MR surcharge, the HMO surcharge language, restoration of mental health and MPIP funding. That was not in our original bill. MA start date from January 2011 to your position in July 2010. And this particular offer includes just 30 million for important House initiatives that have been fully vetted and supported by our members, and we would hope that the Senate would seriously consider this House offer.
Senate position on that.
What?
Mr. Walls, do you?
Mr. Walls?
Madam Chair, you should have a one-page offer from the House, and I believe spreadsheets are being passed out as well. The House offer, I believe, just highlights changes that the House is requesting from the Senate position to come to agreement. The spreadsheet that is being handed out, all of the shaded areas are areas where both sides would be in agreement. And the non-shaded areas are the positions that there remains a difference. I don't know if you would like me to walk through them individually or if the spreadsheet and one-pager stand as explanations in and of themselves.
Are there any questions about this? I just have one, and that is, I'm assuming that you accepted the last Senate offer.
Madam Chair, I believe that the House is accepting the movement by the Senate with these exceptions.
Senator Berger. Then I would say that you're not accepting the last Senate offer. We can take our offer back and rework it to accommodate some of these requests if you would like us to do that.
Madam Chair, we would like you to do that.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Enabler.
You know, the viewers at home don't have a spreadsheet. Maybe just the House staff could review what things they're talking about so then we would all know. Would that be reasonable?
That's a reasonable request, Representative Abler. I'm just trying to.
Well, I understand your request.
Speed things up. It's 1 o'clock, and you know, as far as I can tell, I thought we would be much further along by now than we are.
So, if they wouldn't mind, that would be helpful.
All right, Mr. Wallace, do you want to read through the offer sheet?
Madam Chair, I believe it would be easiest for me to go through on the side-by-side spreadsheet, and I'll go through as quickly as I can. On page 3. Line 110, the House still has a capacity school-based mental health cut in the tails of $4.77 million per year. The Senate does not. Madam Chair, moving on down to page 6, on line 239, the difference there is the Senate has reductions for basic sliding fee child care assistance. The House still has not accepted that position. Madam Chair, on line 279 at the top of page 6 and going on to page 7 is the House position on increasing food shelf grants. It's my understanding that that was put into the Senate language for years 10 and 11 in an amendment that was just recently adopted, but it's my understanding that that was a mistake, and so I'm not sure what the current Senate position is on that item.
Right. That has been placed into the article, but the article, the piece itself in that article has not been adopted.
Madam Chair, then continuing on to page 10, the House still has on line 376 a $100,000 appropriation in for Region 10 quality assurance. On page 9, the House has at the top on line 382 three long-term care facilities increases for Atwater, Clearwater, and Minomen. On line 401, the House has a reduction that the governor proposed for separating elderly waiver case mix caps from nursing facility rates. The Senate has not included that position yet. The House has some budget neutral PACE modifications that have not yet been accepted by the Senate.
Madam Chair.
Could we just let him finish?
Well, on that point, I think that that's actually an error. I think that we agreed on that language and adopted it in the very first day.
Okay.
We'll let him finish, and then let's go back to it.
Okay. Madam Chair, continuing on page 7, the House has still has a $50,000 appropriation for the study of transfer of fiscal note duties. The Senate does not. On line 455, the House has $2.6 million in 12 and 13 for children's DRG rate adjustments. On 461, the House still retains an item for Minnesota purchase at full cost by volunteer firefighters. On page 11, the House still carries associated costs for pharmacy rate adjustments. On line 509, the House carries the savings for the autism spectrum disorder coverage requirements. The Senate does not. Moving on to page 13, line 581, the House still has not accepted a budget-neutral position on additional fair hearings. That is the Senate position. On line 647 of page 14, the House proposes the House language on critical access dental for years 11 and 12, but would accept the Senate policy positions beginning in fiscal year 2013. Madam Chair, on page 15, line 695, the House accepts all Senate positions on housing with services except for the consultation piece, and that is the savings difference there. On line 712, the ER withhold to reduce ER visits is similar, but the House is trying to exempt county-based purchasing from this requirement and has a figure of $200,000 reduction in savings on the bottom of page 15 to highlight the difference. Madam Chair, moving on to page 17, there's still a slight difference in the positions. The House is now carrying reductions in DHS Central Office in the tails in years 12 and 13. The Senate has some reductions in fiscal year 11. Madam Chair, moving on to page 20, at the very bottom of the page, the difference remaining is the House provides $500,000 a year for the birth defects information system, and the Senate is providing a greater amount of money for that information system. Madam Chair, going on to page 21, the House still includes $75,000 for autism studies that the Senate does not include. Madam Chair, on page 22, the House has $200,000 for the Healthcare Transformation Task Force in 2011. The tails in 12 and 13 have been removed. The Senate does not yet have any funding for that position. On page 23, line 1081, the Senate captures $50,000 from Veterans Affairs. The House does not include that position. And Madam Chair, the last remaining difference is on page 26, line 1235, and that is a difference in the approach to solving the Emergency Medical Services Board shortage, both from an appropriation tracking error and also the inclusion of a medical response unit reimbursement pilot program. The Senate discontinues the program and uses some of that funding to deal with the shortage, and the House funds it entirely with additional dollars from the general fund.
Are there any questions?
Pacifica.
If there are no questions, then we'll be in recess for 1 hour.